John White.
She dreams in color, she dreams in red. Can't find
John White.
Can't find
John White.
I wouldn't be surprised if you hung up.
Don't hang up. Don't hang up, John.
Wow, somebody there is just an absolute musical genius.
That'd be Bill Leff.
I have been working with Pearl Jam extensively for the past couple months to put that song together for you.
Wow, Bill, I am so honored. So is that coming out on their next album?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And it is on iTunes right now. Oh, their site just crashed, John. I don't know how that happened. How are you? John Whiteman, everybody.
Well.
How are you, John?
Doing well, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Really good. 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks convention kicks off Friday, Hilton, Chicago. Pretty exciting.
Really is. I mean, it's hard to believe it's 10 years. I mean, you know, we blinked and we got here. I can remember the first convention and the excitement that everybody had and, you know, how unique it was. I mean, the Cubs had their convention every year. The White Sox had their convention every year. And this is really something that John McDonough, the president and CEO of the Blackhawks, had in mind. I think when he took over the organization, he knew he had a huge fan following with the Chicago Blackhawks. And so I think the thought was, hey, why not? You know, they've already got the relationship with the Hilton Hotel established. And this time of the year, maybe the hotel, I don't know. I don't know if they were at peak capacity or if maybe this was a downtime for the hotel. So I think everything worked out. And now it's become a tradition. This is the 10th annual, and I think it's going to be an awful lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
John, a couple of years ago, Wendy and I were hosting an event for the Blackhawks convention, and we had Rocky Wirtz on, and he said during a break to me, he said, can you believe no other team in the NHL does this? He goes, there's some baseball teams and some football teams, but we're the only NHL team doing this, and I couldn't believe it, but it was true.
Yeah, you think about the original six teams and you think, my gosh, the standing tradition and the fan bases that all of those cities have,
yep.
I mean, without exception. And you know what? If the original six teams all did conventions, you'd have some great conventions. I mean, there'd be a lot to talk about. And I'm a little bit surprised myself. I would think at least the Montreal Canadiens would do it, or maybe the Toronto Maple Leafs. Then stop and ponder that point for a moment, and you think about how unique each convention would be because of their fan bases and because of the culture in each city. So you can imagine what it would be like to go to a New York Ranger convention in the middle of the summer with all the New Yorkers.
It would be fun.
I'll tell you what is so
important. Really
what is so fun to see is these wide-eyed kids looking at their heroes at these conventions. That to me, I mean, there's some adults that do that too, but it's so sweet to see these kids just completely blown away by their idols.
Yeah, that really is. It's great that you brought that up because every year, you know, you see new kids, you know, you see new little kids that come in and they're wearing the Blackhawk gear, you know, and, you know, maybe you see a kid that the first time you saw him or her, she was maybe two and being led around by her mom or dad, and, you know, and very, very shy. And then you see them a couple of years later and they're wearing the sweater of their favorite player and they're talking now and shaking your hand and giving you a high five. Those are moments that really make it special for me. You know, getting around and talking to, you know, the Blackhawk fans. I think they're the greatest fans in all of hockey, and I say it repeatedly. But it really, that's kind of a payoff for me is when I get to go to the convention. And truthfully, when I'm at the convention, it seems like I'm running from one end of that hotel to the other. But I always get stopped by fans who do recognize me, even though I'm somewhat anonymous as a radio guy. And they stop and they talk and they share their thoughts and their experiences and they ask questions, you know, how's the team going to be? And do you remember this? And I go back to the days of the old stadium. I could talk for months with those people. But then there's always somebody pulling me away. Hey, John, you got to get to this. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, guys, I got to go. You know, so that's kind of how it goes. But it's always a great time. And truthfully, if you think about the summer and how long it can be between hockey seasons, even though that time, you know, here in the last 20 years in the NHL has really shortened up, you think about how necessary something like this is for a fan base that's so passionate like the Blackhawk fans.
John, there were years where, and this is sad, but it shows how far we've come, the Blackhawk mm-hmm. Nation. There were years where you could walk around town and not see the Blackhawk logo on anybody's shirt or bag or anything. And now, I told Wendy a story about being at the health club one day a couple of months ago where four people in a row had some Blackhawks gear on. What a difference.
You know what, Bill, if you, and I told this to John McDonough because I felt that, you know, I just thought it was an idea. And I am always looking to promote the brand any way that I can. I mean, I love the Blackhawks as a team. It's my team. But I also love promoting the brand, the Chicago Blackhawks. And when I see somebody wearing Blackhawks gear, if I have a minute, if I have an extra minute, I will comment on the gear, like whether it be a hat or a t-shirt, or maybe they're wearing a Jonathan Toews sweater or you know, who knows? I always say, you know, like, hey, nice hat, you know, or a good looking sweater like that. And mm-hmm. it starts conversation. And, you know, there's a connection right there, whether you know that person or not. There's a connection because you recognize what he or she is wearing. And I think it picks up their day a little bit and makes them feel good about the fact that they are Blackhawks in.
No question about it.
And speaking of sweaters, my husband Jimmy Mack got Marian Hossa, so he's obviously not going to be playing. But still, he's still a beloved Chicago Blackhawk at this mm-hmm. point. My son Dylan got Andrew Shaw, which is... he doesn't want to wear it. Michael got Stan Mikita, so that will go down. And I am proud to wear my Duncan Keith one. So I love wearing my sweater. I wear it loud, wear it proud.
I mean, you know what? Truthfully, Wendy, it not only does it keep warm, but I think it keeps you proud, truthfully. You know, when you wear those colors and people see you, and then you can't help but feel a little bit of pride. You know, knowing that the organization has had such success here in the last 10 years. So, you know, by all means, wear them. And, you know, maybe to the people that you mentioned who are wearing the sweaters of guys that aren't around, I know that there's a new merchandise store down at the United Center is. It's a brand new, and it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful store. So I'm sure they've got the fully crested and numbered sweaters in there. So, if you know, you need to pick out one of a new player, I know I'm going to have to do something like that for my son because Nicholas Jalmerson traded to the Arizona Coyotes. He'll find a new favorite player.
And but, Dylan wanted Panarin, too, and I'm kind of glad I didn't get that one for him.
You know it's going to be funny? Not to interrupt you, Wendy. I'm sorry, but you mentioned the guys traded away. You mentioned Saad and you mentioned Panarin. I'm sorry, you mentioned Shaw and Panarin. How many people had hold of Ben Sodders and saw him leave town 2 years ago and thought, well, you know what? I spent so much money on this, and Sod's a great player. I'm going to wear it no matter what. Well, now they can wear it again and feel good about it because he's back. Okay, please continue.
And all the women who have the Patrick Sharp sweaters.
Oh, yeah.
Back in action, baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm personally very happy to see Patrick Sharp back with the Blackhawks because not only is he a good guy, I like Patrick personally, but he's smart. He's a tremendous speaker, guys. His future, by the way, when he's done playing hockey, mark my words, his future is in TV because he's not camera shy. When he gives an answer to a question, when it comes to an interview, he's got something to say. He doesn't give you a string of cliches. He gives you something that's clever and articulate. And he's knowledgeable about the sport. And, you know, just ask the ladies, is he good looking? Yeah, I think.
Oh, yeah, easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
John, I think maybe radio for Patrick Sharp. I don't see TV. He just doesn't have that look.
Well, he can work with me anytime, but I got a great partner in Troy Murray.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely.
My spot for him.
Yes, you do. Can you hang on for just a little bit? Are you okay time-wise, John?
Yeah.
All right. John Weideman is our guest. We're talking Blackhawks and the 10th annual Blackhawks convention. Stick around. If you want to jump in, you know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
With the Chicago Blackhawks, I'm John Weideman.
I'm Riley Weideman.
Hawk fans, bring your attitude. This is going to be good.
I'm Sean Weideman.
Scored! Oh, what a sweet dish!
We love our dad.
Hawks win! And triple overtime!
But he really should relax.
Oh, man! 2 seconds left in regulation!
You get so excited!
There was a shot! There's also the rebound!
Chill, Dad, chill!
Hawks win!
Here are Dad, the voice of the Blackhawks. 720 WGN.
How cute is that? Chris Duffy did a great job with that promo.
He sure did. He sure did, guys. Every time I hear that, it tears to my eyes. I think about the time with my kids, and oh, man, that's great.
Have you chilled at all?
Have I chilled?
Yeah.
Between the hours of about, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning and maybe 7.
That's chill time. John, when you were coming up,
chill, yeah.
When you were making your decision that this was the life you wanted to lead, this would be your profession, who were you listening to and said, oh, that's kind of the style I want to go for? Was there anybody that did that for you?
I don't think there really was anybody specifically. I listened to a lot of different guys because I wanted to get ideas about what I felt would work for me and what wouldn't. Among my influences, I'll go ahead and name them. Danny Gallivan with the Montreal Canadiens. Whenever I could get any kind of sound from Danny, and usually he was the TV play-by-play guy, but I liked listening to him and kind of absorbing what he did. Dan Kelly, the great broadcaster, mm-hmm. that used to be the voice of the St. Louis Blues, and he did national TV. A guy named Jiggs McDonald, who did play-by-play for both the Atlanta Flames and the New York Islanders, and then did work for Sports Channel. I liked how Jiggs worked. Gene Hart, Philadelphia Flyers broadcaster. I enjoyed listening to Gene and picking up little bits and pieces. Mike Emmerich is another one, and Mike has become a personal friend. Not only is he just a great human being, but he's a tremendous broadcaster and a Hockey Hall of Famer. And you know, there were a lot of them out there that you could hear and you could pick up bits and pieces from. But you have to remember that each hockey broadcaster, in my opinion, this is just how I feel, each hockey broadcaster is unique and needs to develop his or her, and I say her because there's ladies out there that are going to end up doing this, and I think that's great. They've got to develop their own style, their own cachet, so to speak. And to try and replicate somebody else, well, then when you do that, you sound like that person.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was your objection or your objective, well, then that's fine, but you're not going to distinguish yourself as a play-by-play guy. So I guess, you know, those were my main influences, and I thought about talking about the game that I love and doing it for the team that I love, and I never thought that I would be able to, you know, pull that off, be able to talk about the team that I love and talk about the game that I love at the same time. And I've been very, very fortunate with the way things have ended up in my career.
It's the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention. It's happening this weekend, Friday through Sunday, Hilton, Chicago. Over 50 current and former players, coaches, ambassadors will be in attendance. Brian Campbell, will he be in a sweater or a suit at this point?
Ah, you should wear both. You should wear both. And you know what, guys? I mean, we joke around a little bit. I mean, you know, but last year they had the Blackhawks TV had this really nice segment that I really enjoyed called Soup and a Sandwich.
Oh, it was great.
Brian Campbell and Artemi Panarin. And Panarin didn't speak the language very much, and Soupy would host it. And, you know, I thought it was funny.
It was
clever.
Yeah.
So Soup and a Sandwich comes to the front office now. And, you know, I think Brian, I think when he's introduced, and, you know he's going to be introduced on the walkway where, you know, the opening ceremonies, they have the model walkway, for lack of a better way of explaining it. Thousands of Blackhawk fans crowd the grand ballroom, and you know, Eddie Olchuk does the introductions, and one by one you walk up the aisle. Well, Brian's probably going to be wearing the number 51 there, I would guess, because he's now a member of the Blackhawk alumni, but he's also now a member of the Blackhawks executive group, and I think he's going to be a great fit for the organization. I really do. He loved coming to Chicago and playing here for the years that he did. He picked up the primary assist on Patrick Kane's game-winning goal in 2010. He married a Chicago girl. He loves this city. What's not to love?
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he wanted to come back and finish his career here. And I think, you know, in his mind, at some point that thinking was, you know, when I'm done playing, maybe the Blackhawks will take me on in some capacity. And I think he's a great fit for the organization. I think he's going to do a great job.
I do too. I do too. John, a lot of changes from last year's Blackhawks team to this upcoming team. Now, some of them you can't really do anything about, like Marian Hossa's injury or Brian Campbell's retiring. But do you think there would have been as many changes if the Blackhawks hadn't have exited so early in round one last year?
No, that's a really good question, Bill. Every year there are changes regardless. And with the Blackhawks case, when you look at the salary cap, you see that they're right there next to the cap, if not right on the cap. So that dictates a fair amount of change. And, you know, as players develop and improve and statistically they get better, you know, their agents are not stupid people. They go to the Blackhawks organization. This, you know, here he is. He's for a contract, and his numbers are comparable to this guy over here that's making 1.5, and my client's only making 900. Well, I think we need to, you know, get comparable numbers. But forces the general manager to have to make some kind of move because he's got in contracts of, you know, guys and Jonathan Hicks are right at the top of the heap. And so it's a very difficult thing for Stan Bowman to have to work through every year. But he seems to be able to sharpen his pencil every time he's challenged that way. And the question you had was, would there be the number of changes had the team had more success in the playoffs?
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been as many. In my opinion, there wouldn't have been as many. But I think what happened, guys, and you know, Stan is in a tough spot because, you know, when the team is winning, hey, you know, he looks like a genius.
Sure.
Everything is great. When the team is not winning cups, you know, the mantra with the Blackhawks is to win. We're here to win. We play each season to win the Stanley Cup. We're not here to show up, put the uniform on, and to make a showing in the playoffs and say, well, shucks, that's the best we could do. No, they're there to win it. So when you're under that pressure, you have to make the moves that are necessary to position your team so that they can go for a cup run. And when they fall short of that, then you're under the pressure to make the necessary changes to try and get it right. And I give Stan an awful lot of credit and really a lot of guts for the moves that he has had to make under pressure. And, you know, there's no guarantee that the moves are going to ensure the Blackhawks a Stanley Cup. But I think he's repositioned the team with the moves that he's made. And I believe that what they've got going forward is going to be a very strong team. And he's going to have between the months of, let's say, September and April to tweak the roster as he sees fit to make them more competitive going into the most important time of the year, which is the playoffs. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I'm really going to miss watching Marian Hossa play this year, and hopefully we haven't seen him play his last game. The only good news is no other team gets him. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I hate seeing Marian gone, too. I was really sad to hear about his situation. I just hope and pray that he's going to be okay as a person and, you know, in his personal life. I mean, he's been very fortunate to have made a fair amount of money in his career, so I don't think finances are an issue. But you know what? I think if you ask Marian, he'd trade every dollar to have his health back and, you know, be able to come and compete because he's coming off of a year where he scored 26 goals. He was a leader in the playoff, even though the playoff run was only four games. He was one of the best players, and I think he wanted to play, you know, this year and the next year after that. He's in phenomenal shape, or was in phenomenal shape to the end of the season. And then this thing kind of came out of left field. And my only thought is that he's age 38 right now. He's going to turn 39. When you have a guy like Marian Hossa, the kind of physical condition that he's in, and you have to think involved in that, you have to think about his immune system. How could somebody get into that kind of shape if their immune system wasn't strong? So let's hope that his immune system is going to be strong enough to fight off whatever this affliction is. And maybe by the end of the year, maybe they're talking about Marian starting to skate again. And, you know, maybe he's talking about coming back in the following season. That's my hope. That's my hope and prayer that he's going to be okay that way. But truthfully, if he never comes back, we had the good fortune of seeing a rare athlete have a great career and a great number of games in Chicago along with three Stanley Cups.
Well said.
Amen.
Well said. John, you make an exciting game and an exciting team even more exciting every time we hear you call a game.
Thank you.
So thank you for that.
Well, Well, hey, it's my pleasure. And just remember, I'm having fun when I'm doing that because the work takes place in between games. And I love working with Troy Murray and Judd Surratt. It's fun when we get on the air. Yeah, there's a little bit of pressure, but hey, we love talking about hockey. We love entertaining the listeners and the fans, and it's a treat going to work every night.
It sounds like it. You can tell by listening. Thanks so much for joining us, and have fun at the Blackhawks convention.
Okay.
Thank you, John. The great John Weideman. We'll take a little break. News is next, and Tim Cavanaugh joins us in a little bit. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.